Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast that's normally about all things teaching related and education inspired that I would record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But if your school is like my school and most schools in the United States, you are not driving to work. You are not driving back from work. You are not driving anywhere. You're sheltering in place, you're staying home, and you're keeping your family safe. Because right now, my school, in the state of Virginia, all schools are closed for the remainder of the year. So we shifted to distance learning. And the podcast, which is typically published every Monday, is shifted to a daily publication schedule because I know a lot of us are doing this from home. And we're making it up as we go. So you can hear doors opening in the background. You can hear me moving things in the background. I'm not in the car anymore. I'm in the house. I'm in the living room. I'm on a walk. I'm getting the mail. I'm trying to do what I can to share my understanding of how to be in this distance learning space for many of us who've never done that before. And that's really scary. Asking us with like 20 minutes notice to get all the things out of our classroom and asking us with like one day's notice to turn our entire pedagogy to an online model is really, really hard. And so I wanted to honor that for everybody first and foremost, and then offer tips and strategies, things that I can do as an instructional coach to help get you there. Because in a time of uncertainty, having an instructional coach in your pocket on demand is not a bad thing. So I wanted to do what I can. I am just one voice to you know, kind of add to the conversation. And I'm sure you could have basically found everything I'm going to talk about pretty much everywhere on the internet. But being an instructional coach is often working like human Google for people who would have eventually found it anyway. So why not trust the source and, you know, get right back to it faster? So you can get back to doing what you need to do with your own family and your own health and your own safety. So whether you're locked out or shut out or quarantined or locked down, today's podcast is going to talk about ways to replicate some good dialogue strategies for all students, whether they are accessible digitally or accessibly, you know, like via telephone. And we can talk about some strategies on that stuff too. First, some housekeeping notes. If you like what you're hearing, the podcast typically would drop every Monday, but in this case, we're going to be dropping every school day for the rest of the school year. That's what my schedule looks like. And if you want to talk further, this is, like I said, just one person's thoughts. You're welcome absolutely to message me on Twitter. I'm at @MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name. M is at Mary, E-E-H-A-N is at Nancy. And EDU like teaching. I love teaching and I want to get better at it. And I want to help teachers who want to get better at it. And this is a time where all teachers kind of got to work together and learn to build the plane as we fly it, so to speak, because this is new. And that's really scary, especially if you've never taken an online class before. I have a website where I share a bunch of resources. It's www.edrenalinerush.com. That's educational edrenaline with an E. If you like what you're hearing here, there's plenty of resources and templates I'm going to share over there. And feel free to take them, borrow them, steal them, adapt them, do whatever you need to do. And I have a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. If you are interested in more strategies than what's on the website, yeah, check out the book. But if you wanted to, like I said, I'm doing podcasts every day. So if you just want to stick around long enough, I'm sure we'll talk about everything 10 times, 50 times if we have to. Because ultimately, this is an unprecedented time in American education for sure. So let's talk about some discussion strategies, some dialogue strategies. In my book, I talk about ways to help children overcome what I call the ultimate obstacle. And what I should have said in the book, I mean, like, you know, hindsight being 2020, it's not the ultimate obstacle. There's a lot of other obstacles students are going through outside of class, but I meant the obstacle in class. And specifically, that was like the obstacle of hearing their voices heard and feeling okay to just raise questions and maybe like hazard guesses. Because a lot of times students learn to, quote, play the game of school, which is they can give you the rote memorization. They can give you the parroted answers, the spitback answers, the fill-in-the-blank answers, or the multiple-choice answers. But when you ask them to do stuff like deep diving and original thinking or critical thought, maybe not so much, right? So what can we do to help that or to alleviate that, to change that? And in my book, I talk about the power of game-changing dialogue strategies, ways to get students engaged in a conversation. And I talk about two specifically. I talk about the micro lab, which I'll talk about immediately. And I also talk about the Socratic Seminar, but quickly the difference between the two of them. Socratic Seminar is the big thing where you put the desks in a circle and everybody just talks and that's it. And a micro lab is a much smaller version, as you can kind of hear from the name of it. The micro lab protocol, which can be really helpful, we can talk about ways that you can adapt it for virtual learning today on this podcast. The micro lab protocol typically takes students in groups of three and the teacher asks a general question to the entire gathered class. Example. You know, what's one thing that you're most concerned about in this time of, you know, unprecedented American education, right? Or in this time of crisis or this time of pandemic, what's one thing that you think needs to change the most? It's a big picture question with no clear right or wrong answers. You're really just trying to facilitate dialogue from people who might have myriad of responses. You ask the question as a teacher, and then what you would do is you'd give 1 minute of silent think time where the groups would just sit there and mull over their answers. Individually, students maybe could journal some ideas or bullet point some notes or look back to their books if it was a text-related question, and they're trying to find their way back into an answer with the goal of when they contribute their response, they should be able to fill a full 60 seconds of response time. So you give 60 seconds of silent thinking and think, breathe, relax, right? And then in the group, person A, person B, and person C will take turns sharing their answers in that order. And when person A talks, everyone else is just listening. If they want to respond, they want to say more, they want to interrupt, they want to say like over the top, they grab a pen or a piece of paper and they write down what they thought to say, but they hold it while person A is just sharing. That minute is person A's time is to shine, and it's only person A sharing, hey, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling, here's what I'm reacting to, blah, 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 blah. You know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then person A is done. Person B picks up. They can piggyback, they can pivot, they can push back. But for the next 60 seconds, it's just person B. And whatever person B has to say, that person's time to shine. So everyone else in the group just listens while person B gives the information that they feel is most pertinent to that information or the question. And again, everyone is just listening, practicing like the, ooh, I had something to say, but I'm not going to say it now. And honoring the fact that person B's goal is to fill a full 60 seconds. So they kind of have to stretch themselves and like explain themselves and like do a little bit of metacognition. So they can't just like say, yeah, I agree. And they're over in 2 seconds and then wait for 58. Their goal is to fill the full 60 seconds. Then after that, person C finishes, and person C does the exact same thing. You know, what is their answer to? Blah, 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 blah. And the beauty of this format is it forces the students who want to overtalk to rein themselves in, that they only get like 60 seconds to say their piece. And for those students who might be less inclined to share their voices, they only have to fill 60 seconds. And because they only have to fill 60 seconds, it's like, hey, you only have to talk to the two people next to you. It's not a large group conversation. It's just you. And because it's just you, see if you can fill that time and see if you can stretch it to a full 60 seconds. It forces them to lengthen and strengthen their responses, which can be really helpful too. After that 60 seconds for the person C is over, now the group can have an open dialogue where everyone just talks over each other. Persons A, B, and C kind of share freely. Hey, I'm thinking this. And when you said that, it made me want to say this. Or, ooh, I was going to interrupt you. Or I wanted to push back on that. But now they have a chance to just open a dialogue. And what you've done is created a miniature Socratic seminar or Socratic circle where those students are now talking to each other. And that's really helpful because every student gets a chance to hear one another, but also to be heard for what he or she had to contribute to the conversation, which is really empowering. Once you start to believe that your voice has value, you're more inclined to want to share your voice. And then after you did your micro lab in a traditional classroom, you'd be able to open it up and say, okay, guys, so what are we all thinking? And I'm hearing a lot of groups because you had 6 or 7 groups happening all at once in the different sides of the classroom. But because all of them had a chance to, you know, prime the pump and have conversations about whatever the topic was, they come to the larger conversation ready to go. Now, in a digital way, this is maybe not as easy to do, but it is not impossible to do. And a really awesome tool that I have found great use with is Flipgrid. If you've never used Flipgrid before, it's an awesome way to replicate a sort of digital micro lab. And if you never use Flipgrid, it's simple. Just head to flipgrid.com, totally free for teachers and students. You create a grid or a discussion board where students respond to one another. But you as the teacher can set the parameters of what that grid's submission length is. And in this case, they're not submitting written words. They're submitting recorded videos. They can use that from their Chromebook or from their cell phone if they download the app, an iPad, pretty much anything with internet access. And you ask that prompt question and you just say, hey guys, you know, what do you miss most about the traditional school? Just talk. And individual students then have, let's say 60 seconds or 90 seconds or 100 seconds or, you know, 5 minutes, whatever you set that timer to be, where they have to film a short video responding to your prompt. And you can keep it content agnostic where you're just asking about coronavirus or about shutdowns or about pandemics or about, you know, families and fears and concerns. And what's cool about this is that students are told, hey, you're allowed to film it a million times if you want to, but it has to be at least 60 seconds or it has to be a max of 90 seconds, whatever it is. So they have their chance to hear themselves, to say what they need to say. And then if they're happy with it, they hit the submit button and it adds it to the discussion forum for everyone to see. As a Monday homework, hypothetically, hey, everybody, what are you freaking out about most? Go, 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 go. Okay, fine. After Monday and all students have submitted, you have a rich grid where every student's voice is in there. 15, 16, 20, 25, 30 students in the group. Now on day 2 homework, you can say, all right, everybody, go ahead and watch back any of these Flipgrids that you'd like. and reply to the person who has posted before you about whether you agree with them or you want to add on to what they had to say, or maybe you have some pushback or some questions for them. And students are encouraged to then watch videos 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, however many they want, and hear one another's voices. And then once they've heard something that sort of strikes them, hit the reply button and say, hey, you know, I agreed with you when you said blah, 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 blah. And I think that's really cool, because what it ends up doing is it helps students feel not only that their voice has value to you as the teacher, that you're giving them space for it, but also that it has a voice to one another, that they can respond to one another, reply to one another. And I find that to be really, really helpful, especially in helping students feel safe and supported in a time where there's a lot of lack of safety, a lot of lack of support. And then if you wanted to, gradually you can roll in your course content and be like, hey, let's talk about, you know, we're living through history. Is this similar to or different than, let's say, you know, the Great Depression or the bread lines in the Soviet Russia, right? Like, and just letting students kind of have a light conversation that is leaning more heavily on their own experience, but then bringing in little pieces of the elements of things that you're teaching. It could be a math class. Hey, let's talk about statistical probability. What are we seeing here about, you know, like rate of infection? What are we seeing here about the possibilities of X, Y, and Z? Or you can talk about literature. Hey, this is a hard moment. Do you think that this is as hard for us to experience this as, let's say, what character X experienced when they were forced to blah, 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 blah? And then, of course, you know, comparison is the thief of joy, and there's a lot of things that are not the same between what students are really experiencing and what the content is. But it can help them, in small ways, feel like they are experts in their own lives and experts in their own opinions, which then have all the more value when they bring them to a shared conversation. Even if they're leaning 70% on their own stuff and only 30% on the content, gradually over time, you can kind of scale that back and ask those questions. Should you decide to teach more content in this time where really just letting the students know that we're there for them and that their voices matter can be really helpful. So yeah, Flipgrid, I can't recommend it enough. Doing a micro lab Flipgrid is an awesome activity to let students feel that their voices are heard. If you're not able to do voice recording or video recording, you certainly can do something with just a typical phone call as a teacher. You have, I'm sure, through your internet access to your school, numbers of every family in your district or your jurisdiction. Like, if you can't talk to the students by rule, maybe you can reach out to the parents and just like say, hey, I just want to talk to you guys and see how you're doing. See how Bobby's doing, see how Janie's doing. And whatever we can do or I can do to help, I'd want to let you know that I'm here. Because if you set aside for yourself 60 minutes a day to take 10 to 15, 20 phone calls, they don't have to be long. Just little moments where you can check in and let people know their voices matter. It's a great way to let parents know that you're still on their side and that they have a support network, even if it's not in a physical school during this time being. And it really can go a long way to make moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts and uncles, and brothers and sisters feel safe and supported in our classes. Last but not least, I want to talk about the possibility of a Socratic seminar, which is when you take all the desks and put them in a circle and you just talk. And for kids, that's really scary. But I'll be honest, if I had one thing to do, one more day with my kids this year, I would do a Socratic seminar, and I wouldn't do it about any content. I would just put the desks in a circle and just have the kids talking, like one voice at a time. Hey guys, what are you feeling right now? What are we going through? And I'm sure they would have a lot to say, a lot to say. And the beauty of the Socratic seminar is that Socrates doesn't pretend to have any answers. He just has questions, and he just asks new questions when it seems like you've given him the right answer. Clarifying questions, not unlike a cognitive behavioral psychologist, right? They don't tell you what's right or wrong with you. They ask you questions about how you feel. And like Dorothy, you click your heels, you had the right answers in you all along. You have to just find that strength to say those things. Socratic seminar is hard. And it's really hard to replicate that in a digital environment where there is one voice at a time. But if you have access to web-based video chatting software, you might consider something like Zoom or Google Hangouts or Google Meet, where you can have students dial in if your school or your county or your district has access to those things. And through a video chat, say, hey guys, we're going to do, you know, four chats tomorrow. We're going to do one at 1 o'clock, one at 1:30, one at 2 o'clock, one at 2:30. It'll be a 20-minute chat. Just dial in at the start of it. When we're all in, we're just going to talk. And in a circle, we're all just going to share our experiences, one voice at a time. And letting students be heard and seen, letting them kind of see one another, letting them hold online office hours with you, and they can just, like, laugh about the fact that you have, you know, your cat hopping around in the background, or you have a, you know, a three-day 5 o'clock shadow because you haven't had a chance to do the regular work schedule. Anything that gives them a chance to just be seen and heard in a conversation that, as best we can, replicates what old normal was. Because for many of our students, that's their only chance to see one another and their only chance to see structure and a way that there is a familiarity to it. So your only ground rule is, hey guys, everybody's allowed to talk. I just want to hear one voice at a time. So let's go. And if you can limit your group sizes to like 8 or 9 or 10, it's actually pretty manageable. And if you wanted to set up something like a sign-up genius so they can sign up and groups of four or five or six or 10, whatever it is. It can be really manageable for you to do that too. Again, just some ideas for dialogue. I think it's so important to hear one another's voices, and that's one of the reasons why I continue to push out these podcasts, and I hear great things from teachers who are sending emails and tweets and messages, so I do really do appreciate that. If you want to hear more, talk more, we'll be back tomorrow. If you want to message me in the meantime, please do. I'm on Twitter, at MeehanEDU. Head to the website, AdrenalineRush.com, and if you wanted to leave a rating or a comment on the app for what your favorite podcast is, it's cool. It helps other people find the podcast, and I'll keep pushing them out as long as there's people keep listening. So thank you. We'll talk tomorrow. God bless you guys. Stay safe, and please let me know how we can help. All right, bye for now. Thanks.